This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
I have once again allowed us to express our gratitude and our greetings to the rest of you, and as well to remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in what we refer to as the silent communication, that telepathic interaction and exchange of information with others that would be with us on this afternoon, or indeed once again that portion that you refer to as your higher self, or that spark of consciousness that you are. That opportunity continues to exist for each of you should you choose to participate or be involved in that activity, and as always, once again, the choice is yours, absolutely. This reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness stage is, for all intents and purposes, the most illusionary reality that you will experience in any of your levels of consciousness or the areas of existence. Illusionary, but once again, not insignificant. You see, some of the limitations that come with this use of a vocabulary is that for many, illusionary means that it's not real, that it's somehow a trick of lights, and in a sense it is, but that doesn't mean that it's insignificant or that it doesn't have some importance. Absolutely not. It's quite significant and has a very definite importance and effect upon what it is that you desire to experience, but nonetheless illusionary. And yet in your awakened consciousness state, you go to great lengths to make it appear that it's real, and that it's beyond your control. You put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that we refer to as a veil that has several purposes. Not only does it limit you the capacity of understanding who and what you truly are, limit your capacity to understand in your awakened consciousness state the creation process that you utilize to have the experiences in your so-called awakened consciousness state and this vibrational level, that also limits the capacity for other entities existing outside of your vibrational level to have an impact upon your creation process. If you wish to create in this reality, then indeed one must choose to be involved in participating in maintaining those limitations and that veil, that electromagnetic type of energy that exists in each and every atom throughout your entire universe. And you, as you enter into this vibrational level, also agree to participate in and to sustain certain belief systems that are, for lack of a better terminology, universal. What we refer to as the human consciousness belief systems, of which the veil, or that maintaining and sustaining the electromagnetic type of energy throughout the entire vibrational level, is only one, but a very important one. But there are many others. And some significant ones are your belief in time and space. Your belief that there is this passage of time, and there is this distance between elements that create this illusion that you are somehow progressing, that you're evolving, that you're in some type of an evolutionary process where what has occurred in your past is indeed something that is written in stone, for lack of a better explanation, as opposed to what you refer to as your future, that you feel you somehow have the capacity to influence and to change. But we suggest that it's an illusion, that time and space only exist in your awakened consciousness state. You can, in your altered states of consciousness, in what you refer to as your dream states, and as well in your meditative states, experience realities that you may assume are illusionary, but realities nonetheless that exist without the limitation of time and space, particularly without the rigid limitations of time and space that you have in your awakened consciousness state. Although even in that altered state of consciousness, the memories that you bring back into your conscious state continue to have placed upon them certain restrictions on what's possible to occur within this belief system of time and space. It's a human consciousness belief system that exists in this vibrational level that is very illusionary and yet gives you the opportunity to experience these seemingly progressive realities and consequences of realities that are based upon choices and decisions that you make, that give your whole sense of being and the sense of being involved in certain realities that you're not completely in control of, some validity that's not possible should you remove that belief in time and space. And yet it is an illusion. Time and space are illusionary, they don't really exist. For some, you believe in so-called past lives. For others, past lives are not acceptable in your so-called consciousness. We would suggest that you are a multi-dimensional personality, as we've suggested many times. As a multi-dimensional personality, you exist in various, for lack of a better terminology, lifetimes in the same time and same space. You see, if you take away that belief in time, then there would be no past lives and no future lives. There would only be multiple lives, multiple experiences, as you are a multidimensional personality existing within the same time and same space. That's a difficult concept to grasp. We understand, and it's difficult because you choose to make it difficult. But nonetheless, very accurate. We continuously attempt to give you information that's based upon your belief in time and space. We refer to the so-called between incarnational states of your consciousness, like there is these times when you are not existing on your so-called earth system. We speak of your past lives like it really is something that's occurred in the past, but it really hasn't. It all exists in the now. You are a multi-dimensional personality. What you are experiencing in those other so-called dimensions of your personality, for that particular lifetime, if you wish for that once again, for lack of a better terminology, the conscious experience that you have in that lifetime appears to be as strong to that element of your personality and as individual and as meaningful and as the only one that you are experiencing as does the conscious experience that you have in this particular incarnational period. And yet they exist within the same time, the same space. You are much more than what you experience in this particular incarnational period in your awakened consciousness state. You are a multidimensional personality experiencing the entire spectrum of your so-called existence in this vibrational level, in the now. And again, it becomes very difficult to give an accurate explanation of what that's like, because you believe in time and space, and there really are no terms, there really is nothing in your vocabulary that you can utilize to give an accurate explanation, for an explanation of time and space, or the non-existence of time and space, is nonetheless based upon your belief in time and space. The now means now. It means what? There's this now, and yet you can't really exist in the now if you think about it, because you're continuously going from your so-called past to your future. It really becomes a difficult concept to grasp, and yet you exist in the now, for lack of a better terminology. All of your experiences are occurring without the limitations of time and space. How can that be? It becomes once again difficult to give any type of analogy that can be accurate. One analogy that works very well is that you understand within this earth atmosphere that you exist in, there are a multitude of various types of frequencies and wavelengths that are all aimed at various types of gadgets that you use to turn into a particular frequency or a particular wavelength. And all of these elements that you utilize to tune into the wavelengths and the frequencies do so while eliminating all the rest. They pick out one. They tune into the one, even though there are thousands and millions of other frequencies that are occurring in the same time, in the same space. And so it is with your creation process, existing within the same time, the same space. And you, in this particular incarnational period, you choose to utilize your so-called consciousness to tune into this particular incarnational period while, at the same time, seemingly eliminating all of the other incarnational periods that you were involved in. And while you are in those other incarnational periods, similar to, once again, utilizing two devices to tune into two different frequencies at the same time in your so-called consciousness in this vibrational level, in this particular incarnational period, while eliminating all the rest, so it is that you can tune into different incarnational periods while eliminating all the rest at the same time. It becomes difficult to give an accurate explanation. It's like having 100 of your so-called cell phones being involved in 100 different interactions, not with each other, but with others. So-called cell phones, with other instruments of your technology, all at the same time, all within the same space, and all tuned into a different frequency. And so it is that you have these incarnational periods occurring, all at the same time, all in the same space. And like your technological cell phones, you have a consciousness that tunes into each one of those particular incarnational periods while eliminating any interaction in the awakened consciousness state with any of the other incarnational periods that you were involved in the creation process of. You are a multidimensional personality, so much more than what you even begin to suspect in your awakened consciousness state. Now, not unlike these frequencies that are existing in the same time and same space and being tuned into all of these different self-aware apparatus that you utilize. So it is that all of these incarnational periods are existing from the same space, existing from the same spark of consciousness that you are, like the self-room frequencies in a certain area all exist from the same source. And yet you tune into each one individually, but they all come from a similar source. And so it is that your incarnational periods, your so-called lives, past lives, future lives, are all coming from the same source, that spark of consciousness that you are. And as such, can be influenced from that spark of consciousness that you are. One lifetime, one incarnational period, has the capacity to have an influence, not only has the capacity, but does influence other incarnational periods that you're existing in. And it's, once again, occurs in the same time and same space. Time and space are illusionary. If you can grasp that for an instant and accept that that's the reality, then, for example, we have suggested that we as an entity have interacted with our friend Elias in many of the other lifetimes that he's experienced in your so-called vibrational level. But if you can, for instant, grasp the concept that those lifetimes are being experienced in the same time and same space and are not necessarily separate from each other but coming from the same source, the same spark of consciousness that our friend Elias is, then it becomes easy to accept the possibility that this interaction that you're experiencing in this particular incarnational period is being experienced as well in other incarnational periods at the same time and same space. It's not like, well, 10,000 years ago we interacted with our friend as Elijah and then continued and sought out to interact in other incarnational periods when he was known as Elias, and then continued to search out and to interact in this particular incarnational period as he's known as Elias. It really makes much more sense to grasp the concept that we interact at a level of that subconsciousness of who and what he truly is. And as a result of that interaction at the subconsciousness, have effects on various incarnational periods that he is involved in. Makes much more sense than trying to accept that we continuously hang around and wait for the centuries to pass so that we can interact again. It really doesn't work that way. Time and space are illusionary. Within that concept of time and space being an illusion, and it doesn't become all that difficult to grasp the concept that the answers to questions that you have within inside of each of you can be answered from within inside of each of you. I've suggested many, many times that no matter what it is that you seek the answer for, it lies within inside. It lies within inside each of you. When you search for answers that are written or expressed through this use of a vocabulary, or that are indeed seemingly expressed as we express our message to each of you from some outside source, all of those answers come with limitations. to believe that we somehow have access to knowledge that you do not have access to is ludicrous. The majority of the information that we express to you is information that you desire to have expressed to you and that you give to us. We don't have access to any knowledge that's not available to you. In fact, we don't have access to all of the knowledge that is available to us. If you have never existed within your vibrational level, we have no desire to do so. It's like suggesting that someone who has never lived in your neighbor's house knows more about your neighbors than they do. It's really not that way. Each of you knows more about the creation process of your reality than any entity existing outside of your vibrational level. And the irony of it is that when you begin to get a glimpse of the concepts of the creation process, you begin to understand that it can't be written down. It defies an explanation. And just you can grasp the concept and you can utilize it in your creation process. You can begin to understand that you are all that is. You can get glimpses, if you wish, into the other realities, into the other dimensions of this multi-dimensional personality that you are, if you desire to do so. It's all available to you. It exists within inside each of you. You have but to access it through holding the belief and making the attempt and having the expectation that it's available. It's really that easy. It's so easy that it appears to be difficult. And it really is not difficult. What's difficult is to bring back into your consciousness the complete and total understanding of who and what you truly are. That's difficult. That's difficult because you, once again, choose to put in place that electromagnetic type of energy. It's difficult for you in your awakened consciousness state to have access to all of the other multidimensional elements of your personality because you choose to make it difficult. However, in your altered state of consciousness, glimpses of those other dimensions of your personality are definitely available to each of you. And in your altered states of consciousness, in your dream state, you perpetually, if you wish to utilize once again your belief in time and space, interact with other levels of your consciousness in that dream state. That capacity to have that interaction also exists in the meditative state. And should you choose to enter into that state with the intention of retaining a memory of that interaction, that's available to each of you. You have but to believe. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. It's really that simple. There are no exceptions. You are the God you search for. You create your reality and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. Everything else in this reality is an illusion. And is an illusion is an illusion, even though it has significance. You can change it. You have but to believe. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
Can I ask, what determines where an entity, for your past lives, what determines where you're going to be born, what country, what hemisphere, what language?
Your choices. It's really a very simple element. You see, all of the reality you experience is a validation of your belief systems, all of it, not just elements that you experience in your awakened consciousness state, but in all the levels of consciousness that you experience in this vibrational level. As we've suggested many times, there are no accidents. You are here by choice. It becomes difficult to give an explanation without utilizing your belief in time and space. So we would suggest that in your so-called between incarnational state, you have the opportunity and utilize that opportunity to make choices of the experiences that you desire to have in an incarnational period. And so you put in place the belief systems. You interact with other entities to validate those belief systems. Entities who agree to participate because they have belief systems that they would like to have validated, and you agree. We will create this reality. You can validate your belief systems, and I'll validate my belief systems, and we'll just have a good time creating. And so you choose where it is and who it is that you choose to interact with in any particular incarnational period. It's not a random thing where you're suddenly dropped down onto this earth and you have to have certain experiences. You exist in that reality because of choices. You exist in that reality to validate belief systems. Belief systems many times that you put in place in that level of consciousness that we refer to as the between incarnational state of consciousness. Belief systems that are contained within your DNA and contained within the genetic makeup of your physical being. Belief systems that are indeed activated through your choices and decisions and through your thoughts and feelings in this particular incarnational period, even though that belief is one that was put in place simply as a possibility in your so-called between incarnational level of consciousness, stored within your DNA. And as you alter the energy that surrounds the DNA by making certain choices and decisions, by holding certain belief systems, by having certain thoughts and feelings, by utilizing your imagination and utilizing your expectation, you change the energy that surrounds the DNA. And you take what was once a possibility and turn it into a probability and bring that experience into your reality so that you can have it. Whether it's negative or positive, once again, the spark of consciousness that you are does not make that judgment. It gives to you that which you desire to validate the beliefs that you hold that may be put in place in your so-called between incarnational state. But nonetheless, your choice. Your choice. You are not put here because someone else decided that this is where you should be. You choose to be involved in a certain interaction, in a certain family makeup, if you wish, within, as you refer to it, a certain country. Your choice, not some other entity. Entirely choices that are made at various levels of your consciousness. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
In attempting to determine the things that we want to change in our reality, sometimes, anyway, perhaps I'm only speaking for myself, but I run up into what I think is a mental roadblock that seems very difficult to move, and it's very difficult to determine where that originated from. And when you can't identify the feeling that you want to change, and yet to move to that particular point in this particular mindset seems very difficult. I just want to identify what I have been calling the roadblock.
Many belief systems are belief systems that are held within the subconsciousness and are very difficult to recognize in your so-called awakened consciousness state. You can understand that your subconsciousness is involved in a multitude, millions of activities within your physical body that your so-called awakened consciousness state, although maybe aware of, does not have any conscious understanding of the process. It certainly does not have any recognizable consciousness control of those interactions. That, of course, is a false perception, but nonetheless, one that's held in your awakened consciousness state, that you are somehow, your subconsciousness that exists within each and every cell of your being is somehow separate from your consciousness. It's like your consciousness exists within your so-called physical brain but doesn't exist throughout the rest of your body, which is controlled primarily by your subconsciousness. And yet you understand very well that those activities, those interactions between each and every cell of your entire being are occurring on a continual basis without any conscious thought to perpetuate the activity, or at least any conscious thought that you're aware of, although your conscious thoughts absolutely and definitely influence that activity. Consciously, you don't spend a whole lot of time wondering, for example, how the oxygen that gets into your lungs is transferred to the very minute cells at the very extremes of your physical being. It just occurs. It's belief systems that you hold that are responsible for that activity. It's the spot of consciousness that you are that's responsible for not only that activity, but for all of the activities that are occurring within your reality and in your conscious experience. And like the activities in the various cells of your being, that you may not be aware of the belief systems that are necessary to sustain and perpetuate that activity. So you hold other belief systems that influence the interactions and day-to-day activities with other entities that you may not be consciously aware of. Put in place, as we suggested earlier, in your so-called between incarnational periods that allow you to experience certain day-to-day activities that may be less than enjoyable in your so-called awakened consciousness state, but the spot of consciousness that you are rejoices at the creation process and at the intense range of emotions and feelings that you feel as a result of that creation process and as a result of that interaction. And so the roadblock that you refer to can be very difficult to get past, because that belief system is not necessarily one that you are aware of in your awakened consciousness state. How do you get past that? It comes back to the basic fundamentals that we refer to so many times. Like who you are. Like who you are. Draft a list of principles that you would apply to being the individual that you desire to be. If you desire to be, don't list principles because you think you might be influencing someone else. This is for you, for your personal growth and benefit. A list of principles, and apply the principles when you have the opportunity. And you see, the irony of it is that you create the opportunity so that you can apply the principles. It's not a random thing. But when you begin to utilize that from a conscious state with an attempt to influence your subconsciousness, and as you apply the principles, you begin to like who you are. You strengthen your character. And you begin to like who you are. Now there's a pitfall here that many fall into, and where they fail to apply the principle in a certain situation, and they look at it and say, oh, I can't do that. It's too difficult. Look at, I'm a failure. Well, if you're successful 9 times out of 10, that's a 90% average. And in any other aspect of your creation process, that's a huge success. You don't dwell on the 10% of negativity, but rather on the 90% of the positive aspect of the creation process. When you create these realities for the potential and possible potential of applying the principle, and you begin to like who you are. You strengthen your character. When you go inside and you begin to attempt to make the contact with that spark of consciousness that you are, and you begin to like who you are, then you begin to have the expectation of consciously loving yourself. And with that as well comes the belief that perhaps it is possible to contact and come in contact with that spark of consciousness that I am. And in coming into contact with that spark of consciousness that you are, you begin to have the capacity, in particularly in altered states of consciousness, to get glimpses of what the belief systems are that are responsible for and influencing the reality, the seemingly roadblocks that are difficult to get by. And you begin to make different choices and decisions. In your so-called time and space, a very, very long time ago, when we, in this incarnational period, first began our interaction with our friend Elias in a manner that was made in what you refer to as a public expression of our concepts and ideas, we suggested that should you make the choice to believe that you can create and influence your reality, should you make the choice to believe that this reality is entirely your responsibility and your creation, and as a result of making that choice, be in a position to enter into what we refer to as the new age and new energy, which we are very near the absolute completion of, that the changes in your life may be changes that you might not desire, changes to relationships, changes to interactions, changes to how you look at your reality, changes into how you look at and interact with other entities that you are involved in various types of relationships with. And so when you make that choice, you can't go back. You can't get rid of it. You can't just say, I didn't want to do that, I'm going to go back to where I was. You can't do that. You can't return. You can't put it away and say, well, that was a nice thought, but I'm not going to be there anymore. It will continuously come upon you. What did I do? What belief do I hold that's influencing that reality? And so, when you, as well, make that choice to love yourself consciously, and you make that choice to put in place the principles, it will, without question, have an effect upon the relationships that you're involved in. And many times, one in your so-called awakened consciousness state may look upon that as being a negative response and a negative result of altering your belief system. But nonetheless, the spark of consciousness that you are, once again, creates the reality to validate the belief, and does so without judging whether it's right or wrong. And so, when you begin to alter your perception of who you are, when you begin to display to others that surround you in your awakened consciousness state, this feeling of self-respect, this feeling of liking who you are, this feeling of self-love, you may once again alter relationships, but you will as well, particularly in your meditative state, begin to have access to belief systems and have the opportunity of changing those belief systems in a manner that has not been available to you as long as you hold on to this concept that I can't change that. I can't change this particular relationship. When you're involved in a relationship of any type, it's important to understand that the other entity that's involved in that relationship is there by choice. When two entities are involved in a particular interaction in a relationship, it's because they both choose to be there. It's not that one is influencing or enforcing their belief on the other. It's as we've suggested many times, to utilize an example or an analogy, that when entities are involved in an abusive situation, where you have a victim and an aggressor, as difficult as it is to grasp the concept, ultimately, it's the victim that is in control. Ultimately, when the victim chooses to end the interaction, then it ends. And so, when one is involved in a particular day-to-day activity or a relationship where you seemingly run against this wall where you can't change it, it's important to understand that both entities involved in that interaction are playing a part, are choosing to be there. And when you choose to change your belief system, you will ultimately change the interaction and the relationship. And in many times, the relationship may even terminate. We're not suggesting that's good or bad, but rather a validation of belief systems. So like who you are. Love yourself consciously. Make a conscious effort to be there. Go within thought. And pay particular attention to the spontaneous attitudes to get glimpses of beliefs that one holds. Don't be afraid to put any belief up on the chopping block, if you wish, to get rid of it. Don't be afraid to challenge. Don't be afraid to like who you are, even when others seemingly believe that you are not going in the right direction. And that can be very difficult. It can be very difficult, and seemingly you can feel all alone. But when you go inside, you begin to understand that you are never alone. You are never alone. You are all it is. Does that answer your question?
That helps a lot. Thank you.
I was wondering if I could ask, to me, this feeling of the energy of, say, Atlantis and Indigo and some of the alien races, they feel like a similar flavor or something. I can't really explain, but that they feel similar. People seem to have respect for Atlantis times, and everyone seems to love the Indigo Kids, but it's almost like there's a distaste for the alien energy. Not by everyone, but because everyone doesn't even believe they exist in the first place. But do you know what that's about? Hmm.
You speak of what in your awakened consciousness that too many other entities may or may not be of the belief system, including the Atlantean periods and including the so-called indigo children. There are entities who do not believe that such a thing exists, let alone that there are so-called aliens that exist. But you see, the Atlantean periods is a rather dramatic type of existence that occurred in your past. Even though, as we have suggested earlier on this afternoon, that it occurs simultaneously, it's occurring in the now. But nonetheless, for many entities in the awakened consciousness state, that particular Atlantean period is once again a romantic type of the era that existed in your so-called past. And for many, it holds no type of threat, if you wish, to your present. This particular incarnation period you have, on the other hand, the so-called indigo children. For those who do believe in the indigo children, once again, it's a very positive type of experience that these indigo children bring to your so-called incarnational period. These so-called indigo children, who are exactly the same entities that have existed and exist in other incarnational periods throughout your entire universe, but nonetheless, to utilize an explanation based upon your time, your belief in time and space, these indigo children are entering into your so-called incarnational period, into this time, bringing with them what you might refer to as very desirable and positive attributes. Quite amazing to many entities that it's available for the children to utilize their beliefs in reality creation in a manner that seems to be limited to other entities, only seen. It's important to understand that it is only limited because you choose to mask the limitation. But when you speak of aliens in your awakened consciousness stand, now this is an entirely different concept of perhaps entities that exist in your same atmosphere, in your same universe, or in a similar universe, that may, because of the lack of understanding, be threatening. You see, Atlantis is not threatening. Your indigo children are not threatening. The aliens of your awakened consciousness that are entities that are not understood. And because of the lack of understanding that comes with it, an element of not knowing, and with that element of not knowing is an element always of fear. Fear of the unknown, perhaps in your awakened consciousness, that's one of the greatest fears that you face on a day-to-day basis. And so these so-called aliens, and maybe entities that exist either within your particular universe or in another universe that your creation dreams, for many entities in your present incarnational period, in your awakened consciousness state, there's the potential of the unknown, which also contains with it the potential of a possible threat. And therefore, once again, fear of the unknown brings with it all types of elements of either desiring absolutely no contact or disbelief that such an possibility of that particular experience even exists. For others who believe that not only are aliens really exist, but indeed bring with them perhaps the potential of a very positive interaction, then the prospect of that interaction is very inviting and looked upon as being something that would be welcome. We would ask you to look upon the so-called entities that you interact with and judge for yourself how many would harbor that type of a belief system, as opposed to the belief system that it's unknown, and as a result of being unknown and perhaps not even in existence, therefore, if it does exist, could be threatening. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I see that. Thanks. That makes really sense. It would seem like in our recent test, to look at it in a linear way, that it was really impossible or very difficult to incarnate as a human and then incarnate as one of those beings and then incarnate as a human and flip back and forth. I'm sure that there are beings who do fit in, but in our so-called future, such things will be commonplace for those that are interested. And when I have looked at the between incarnation state that heaven and hell, I didn't see where that place would be, and yet it must. Are we creating that now?
What do you believe? We have suggested that to utilize, once again, your belief in time and space, that in the so-called Lemurian being, entities came and went from your Earth system much more readily than what you experienced in this particular incarnation being. Perhaps the limitations that one had to go through some type of physical progression from your so-called birth to your death and all of the various elements of aging and maturing that are involved in that entire process. The brother in the Lemurian period came and went at will, which you could do in this particular incarnation period if you believed that it were possible. And in the Atlantean period, particularly in the first Atlantean period, there was still, to some extent, a carryover, if you wish, of that understanding. And some entities brought with them into this vibrational level the understanding that it was possible for them to come and leave real, while others chose to put in place a stronger veil. It's important to understand that it's a choice. It's a choice that you choose to put in place that strong veil that limits the understanding of who you are and who you truly are. It's not something that's been imposed upon entities in this vibrational level, but something that you choose not only to put in place, but to perpetuate and to sustain. And it's that very choice of the perpetuation and sustaining of that veil and of the particular belief systems that you as well continue to perpetuate, like the belief in time and space, which is validated by being born and existing throughout the time period and going through the various stages of growth of the adolescence to the mature, to the old age, and eventually dying. That's how it has to be, because you believe. And it's that way because you believe, and only because you believe. And yet in your so-called other periods that you existed in the now, you experience in those creation processes the understanding that you can come and leave this vibrational level at will. Not only that you come and leave this vibrational level at will, but you understand that your consciousness, the subconsciousness, the true consciousness of what you are, exists throughout the entire vibrational level, including the so-called aliens that may or may not exist, similar to various plant life that may or may not exist, similar to all of the inert elements that may or may not exist. You see, you exist in all. Your consciousness exists within each and every atom of the entire universe. Not only this, but any other universes that you choose to create. You are not separate from it. That's what's difficult to understand. You are all that is, and yet you are an individual. A very difficult concept to grasp. It's something you can experience when you know it inside, but it defies explanation. You can accept the concept that you exist within each and every atom of your entire universe, then you are every living element in your entire universe as well as every inert element in your entire universe, as is every other entity existing within your vibration. That is difficult to grasp. And so when we suggest that you are all that is, and yet you are nothing, it's because that's how it is. And so if there are any entities that you desire to experience and to create, whether you refer them as aliens or whether you refer to them as just other entities that exist in this vibrational level, you are a part of them, they are a part of you, and you are not separate. You are all that is. You are one. And yet you are an entity who is an individual, a spark of consciousness that is all the consciousness, including if they exist in your reality, should you desire to create that experience, the aliens. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Can you tell me anything about manifesting physical objects?
The only limitation to manifesting physical objects, indeed, is one's belief that it can't be done. You create this entire reality. You manifest all of the objects that you achieve in your day-to-day activities. You're all that is. You see, that's the difficulty. You choose to put in place the selective magnetic type of veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. It's a choice to put in place. Some entities have the capacity, to a certain extent, to put aside that veil for certain elements of their creation process. For some, it's the ability to step outside of their consciousness and to experience realities that may be in other incarnational periods, or particularly in this incarnational period, but in other areas of your so-called universe. To put their consciousness there while their so-called physical being remains in one particular area of your so-called time and space. And so it is that it's possible as well to understand that the creation of physical elements is simply a limitation or not a limitation of your belief system. But a very difficult belief system to put aside. It's a human consciousness belief system, like time and space, like that one requires the utilization of certain elements to continue to exist physically in this particular incarnational period. Like the belief that one must be born and one must progress through once again this broken old age period in order to die. It validates the belief in time and space. It validates the belief systems and the human consciousness belief systems that you put in place. It validates that you're not in control. And so when you speak of creative elements consciously, it becomes very difficult, but not impossible. The only limitations to what it is that you can create is your belief system, your imagination, your desire, and your expectation. Some entities break through, if you wish, some of those limitations. Many times, the entities can't accept that it's possible. We need to look upon it as not being possible, or seeing it even, or indeed, not to give up as being some type of superior entity, like a god that has these abilities that are not available to each of you. They are available to each of you. You choose not to believe. The choice to not believe, you know, because it makes this reality seem more real. It makes it appear that it's beyond your capacity to control. Makes it appear that you are at times not in control of the creation process, and as a result of that appearance of not being in control, the emotions and feelings that you experience are much more intense than is possible in any other vibrational level under any other circumstance. Imagine for a moment if you, in an awakened consciousness state, understood and believed and could continuously create whatever it is that you desire physically, any physical element. You need a home? Well, there's a home. I have a home. You need a car? There's a car. The irony of it is that the only limitation to being able to accomplish that is the belief system. The flip side is when you understand who you actually are, and you understand that you put in place the limitations to be able to automatically create this reality without anything other than a conscious thought, then you would, by all intents and purposes, have no reason to continue to exist in this vibrational level. And chances are that you would simply leave. We suggested many times that were you to, in your awakened consciousness state, have an understanding of who and what you are without the limitations that you put in place, you would, for all intents and purposes, by all of the other entities existing in this vibrational level who are not aware of the capacity to create that exists within each of you in their conscious state, would look upon you as being insane. And chances are that you would choose to leave this vibrational level. You exist in this vibrational level. You put in place the limitations of that understanding in your awakened consciousness state so that it appears that you're not in control, so that the reality that you experience has with it the capacity to allow you to experience an intense range of emotions and feelings that would not be possible should you, in your awakened consciousness state, have the full understanding of the entire creation process that you're involved in. We've used the analogy many times that it's like walking into a theater and you see a particular play portrayed upon the screen and you understand absolutely that it's a trick of life. and that it is a projection of someone else's concept of what's occurring. And in that theater, time and space have no effect upon the story, the play that's being portrayed upon the screen. And you can go through an entire range of emotions and feelings. And even to the extent that when you leave the theater many times, you are still containing and carrying with you the memory of those emotions and feelings. But they're not real. You understand that what you experienced in that theater was a truth of life, a projection of someone else's reality to allow you to achieve these emotions and feelings. When you walk out of that theater, it's raining, and you get wet and cold. Ah, now that's real. That stays for a long time. That emotion and feeling is much more intense than what you experienced in the theater. And if you turn your entire creation process into that theater element so that you understand that you create that rag, that you create the coldness that you feel, and that you create all of the elements that allow you to experience that intense range of emotions and feelings, and that range of emotions and feelings will not nearly be as intense. And in all probability, you would choose to leave this vibrational level because you would have no desire to operate within the limitations of these human consciousness belief systems that you agreed to participate in. Does that answer your question? Well, now, it has once again been a very enjoyable afternoon in interaction, and we would like to once again express our gratitude to each of you. And we would remind you as well that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level, and should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent. And we would welcome that interaction and that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And so until the next time, we would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.